it's kind of interesting that we tested the wall out, because in the course of every day, all of us, all the time, use different kinds of tests. We test, for example, the taste of food to see if it is the correct flavour. When we are unwell, the doctor gives us some tests to try and find out what's wrong with us. During a construction project, we test whether things are straight or level. Yes, if you want to know when it is right, you test it. But is that possible when it comes to the different systems claiming to be able to control spiritual powers? Can we test spiritual systems? Well, God's word would say, yes, we can. We've been seeing over recent weeks that the followers of Jesus living in Colossae fully understood they were in a spiritual fight. The Apostle Paul described it in various ways, but he spoke of the dominion of darkness, the invisible powers, the elemental spiritual forces. And yes, while it might look different in our world, we too face the same opposition. The issue for the Colossians was that people were telling them that the Jesus system, if I can use that language, the Jesus system, the message they had heard in the gospel, was just not good enough to protect them from these various spiritual powers. They needed to include other stuff. And yes, that happens to us as well. So how do we decide what we should keep and what we should discard? Last week we started in Colossians, a section which runs from, I would suggest, chapter 2, verse 6, right through to 3:17, where Paul gives us various strategies. How do we respond to the presence of spiritual powers? Strategy number one, we keep going ahead in Jesus. Well, today we want to look at strategy number two, test the systems. Of all the systems out there telling us how to deal with spiritual powers, which ones should we keep and which should we discard? Paul gives us three tests. The one we are going to look at today is what I call the source test. Where did the system come from? Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. Paul once again expresses his concern for these brothers and sisters in Christ. He's concerned that they not be taken captive. Now, the language here paints a picture the people of Paul's world would have been very familiar with it. You see, Rome, the Roman Empire, was an expanding empire and would conquer peoples wherever it went. The image is of a relief in Rome today, of captured slaves being brought back to Rome. And yes, indeed, the Roman Empire was full of captives, of defeated peoples who had been taken away from their homes and enslaved. Apparently, in Roman cultures, Roman society, there were more slaves than any other group in the whole of the society. Well, Paul's concern is that this would happen to the Colossians spiritually, that they would be taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Philosophy in this context is a spiritual system that underpins how you live. It's the beliefs and values that shape your life. And yes, as we've been saying, there are plenty of them out there. They might look good from the outside, but from Paul's perspective, there is nothing of substance inside. They are hollow. They are a road to nowhere, which in the long run will deceive you and take you away from Jesus. So, how do we know which systems are hollow and deceptive? We test their source. What tradition does it depend on? Are there spiritual beliefs and practices involved here that are not from God, are not revealed in scriptures? Is their system dependent on Jesus as revealed in scripture, or a false Jesus caused by the imagination of someone? For us here in this room, we come from many different cultural and spiritual traditions. We do things simply because that is how it has always been done. It's been kind of interesting, for example, talking to Mila and Dat about what you do when you have a baby. Now, you would have noticed that we haven't seen them since they've had the baby, because part of the tradition they're living with is you don't come out for 30 days. You don't bring your baby out for 30 days. And there's parents and grandparents, they're reminding them of what you do when you have a baby. Like everyone who's ever had a baby has experienced it. And this is a really interesting thing, thinking of them. I mean, here's a couple coming from two different cultural backgrounds living in a third cultural context. Yes, for all of us, cultural influences have a way of creeping into our lives. We don't know how or why it started. It's just part of who we are. This is how we do it. And that is what happens in our fight with spiritual powers. My contention is that much of what I see being practiced today in this area is just not in the Bible, but has crept in from other cultural and spiritual traditions. And when I speak of traditions, I'm not only referring to what happened in China, Laos, or Australia, or any other place in the past. I would also include much of the teaching regarding spiritual powers that has become popular and accepted as standard practice in many churches today. Clinton Arnold, in his book, The Colossian Syncretism, gives us an interesting example of this. Arnold talks about how, and let me quote, magic and mysteries provided a way to escape the tyrants of fate and the terrors brought by the often corrupt guardians of cosmic order. We've been talking about that in Colossae. Arnold goes on, knowing the right names and performing the appropriate rites could alter a dreadful fate. That's how they did it traditionally in Colossae. And Arnold also refers to the Testament of Solomon, a Jewish book which is not part of the Bible but was very popular in the first century. It talks about controlling elemental spiritual forces by invoking angels, by personal knowledge of the appropriate angel names and formulas that will effectively compel the hostile forces to respond as commanded. You know, interestingly, no such practice is found in the Bible. And no, that is not what Jesus was doing with the man who had a legion of demons. And I'm happy to talk to you about that if you want to explore that further. And yet, we see it being done often today. All I'm trying to do here right now is to ask you to consider where what you believe and do comes from. Just to stop and think about it. And maybe it could be that you are struggling because you are basing your life on a cultural or spiritual tradition that is simply hollow and deceptive. You see, the whole contention of God's word is that unless it is of Christ, there is no life. Notice again here in Colossians how we see Paul holding up Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the only source of the life God has promised his creation. If it is not based on Christ, it will never work. Let's continue reading on in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised, with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. F.F. Bruce, a biblical scholar, historian from last century, entitled this portion of scripture, Christ is all and all you need. What a great declaration. Christ is all and all you need. Yes, Jesus is fully God. God's word declares that Jesus is fully God, clothed in human flesh. And in Christ, we who have believed in Jesus, we share in this same fullness. God has given us all that we need in Christ. How is such a thing possible? I hear voices. How is such a thing possible? Jesus is Lord. He is above all, and his authority is over all things, whether visible or invisible. The spiritual powers that were such an issue for the Colossians, and yes, for us, are created beings who are under the authority of their Creator. Jesus is in control. He is the sovereign Lord God Almighty. Secondly, in Christ, we have entered into a new kind of life. The Bible describes how every one of us turned our backs on God and no longer enjoyed his love and blessing. We became slaves of a new master. We were in bondage to sin and death. It controlled our destiny. But now, in Christ, God's word says, we have been rescued from sin and death. Our destiny has gone from slave to child of God. Paul speaks in this context of circumcision and baptism. And interestingly, both of these were initiation rites. They were a symbolic declaration that once a person belonged to the world of sin and death, but now they belong to God. God has given them a new kind of life. I no longer belong to the devil. Jesus is my Lord. Thirdly, once we were dead in sin. Yes, as the Bible declares, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us have lived with the consequences of our sin. Guilt and shame has hung around us like a bad smell, suffocating us and robbing us of our ability to enjoy life. Hanging over our head was a charge sheet of what we have done. But in Christ, our sin, our guilt, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Yes, Jesus nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And then finally, Christ is all and all you need because he totally defeated the spiritual powers and authorities at the cross. Yes, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the spiritual powers were once and for all defeated. It is an event that has taken place in history. Paul's language here is fantastic. I love the way the Holy Spirit inspires the writers of Scripture. Remember how earlier Paul expressed his concern that the people would be taken away as captives? Well, here now he returns to that same picture. But now it's not them. It's not us who are being dragged away, but the spiritual powers. They have been made a public spectacle of. The picture again is of that Roman procession as the conquering general returns back to Rome. Yes, we've conquered whatever land it is. And being dragged along at the end of this long procession are the defeated soldiers, the defeated citizens of that land, who are now captives, slaves of Rome. And Jesus at the cross reversed it. We began as the captives. But at the cross, the devil and his demons and the spiritual powers were made a public spectacle of them. They are captives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is Lord. So, when it comes to spiritual systems, we can test them. We don't need to be ashamed of saying, hang on a second, that's a totally inferior system. I mean, that's how it works. No, I'm no longer going to buy that product. I've tried it in my cooking and it does not work. It's inferior. I tasted it and it's rotten. So you go out and get a better product. We don't need to be ashamed to look at other spiritual systems and say, it does not stack up. It's not good enough. It is hollow and deceptive. Christ alone. Christ alone is the giver of life. And indeed, we need to start asking ourselves questions. Does what I believe, does what I do, is it based on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not the creation of my mind or someone's mind, but on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture. The living word revealed in God's word written. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. And so yet here again, we see the Apostle Paul lifting up Jesus and, as it were, in the name of Jesus, turning to his Colossian friends saying, what's the problem here? Why are you getting sucked in by all these spiritual powers? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Put your trust in him and him alone. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal creator God, the Lord of the universe, who has made all things and rules over all